It's Bill Krakenberger and Rosalie Michaels on the Wisecrack Sports Betting Podcast by WSN.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Wisecracks. I'm Rosalie Michaels here with my buddy, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bill Krakenberger. Hey, what's up, Crack?
Hey, Rosalie. Nice to see you. That's got another big week on schedule here. We got some good things to go over.
I know. It's exciting. We got things happening in the sports world. It's getting crazy out there. You know, I am excited to see what happens when all these sports collide, right? We've got them all happening at the same time. So it's different. It's interesting. Does that change your perspective at all?
I can imagine when September rolls in, and as long as everything's on schedule still, as long as we still have baseball, NBA, college football, pro football, golf, just think about that. All of those sports hitting at the same time, there's never been a busier time in sports betting or the sports world that I could think of. That may lead to some good opportunities for bets, because it's really hard for a bookmaker to get every single line right when they have to put out 200, and that's a real number, 200 lines on a Saturday, any given Saturday, when there's all these sports going on at the same time. It's a good time for the Sharks to jump in.
There's going to be some good opportunity out there, and listening to our show is a great way to pick up on some of those tips.
Absolutely.
So, well, we've got some great stuff today too. So of course, you know, before we get into the meat of our show, we're going to give all of you guys a quick rundown of what we're doing for episode 4. First, we're going to give you a crash course in buying points and key numbers. Now, Crack's going to run us through the fundamentals, and then we're going to dig into how it works in different sports, how you can incorporate it into your own betting. Now, Crack, not everyone thinks buying points is a good idea. Do you think it's a good idea?
Overall, probably not.
Okay.
There's key situations I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
But overall, I would stay away from buying points.
Okay. But we're going to talk about the strategy of it, and if you are going to do it, and if it's something that's interesting to you, how to do it the right way, the Crack way. So, and then we've got a great guest this week. I'm so excited. We talked to him a little bit earlier. This is David Behrman. David Behrman, he's the deputy editor of sports betting at ESPN. You may have heard of it. It's this little network that's been around for a while. This guy lives and breathes sports betting, right, Crack?
Oh, wow. Great guest we got on tap here. So I'm happy for the viewers and listeners.
Yeah, pretty exciting. And then finally, of course, as usual, Crack is going to hit you with a special pick that you can use this week, because it's all about golf, but he's actually got something really interesting outside of golf for you. So you want to make sure that you stick around for the Crack pick of the week. He's also going to tell you a little bit about some other good plays that might be coming up that you could consider. And as always, we're going to wrap things up by answering questions from our viewers. I love this part. I love talking to you guys. I know Crack does too, right?
Absolutely. Look forward to trying to help the viewers and listeners and the guys that wrote to us, guys and girls on Twitter. Thanks.
Yeah. So if you haven't gotten your questions in, make sure you get those in, tweet them to us at WSN Sports, to me at Rosalie Michaels, or to Crack at Bill Krakman, and we will choose our favorites to answer on next week's shows. But make sure that you use the hashtag WiseCracks so we don't miss anything, because we get a lot of tweets from you guys and we love it, but we want to make sure we get your questions in there. You can also leave your questions out on our YouTube channel as well, and we'll make sure to see those. All right, so Crack, let's get into it. Let's talk about buying points. And first, let's cover the basics up front, okay? So when you're betting point spread, sports books will actually let you move the line in favor of one team or the other. So, but the trade-off is that when you change the spread in favor of your bet, of course, this makes sense, right? You are going to get worse odds. That's the basic idea, right?
That's basically the idea. You're gonna lay a little bit more to move the point spread on when you're talking about buying points. But let me first start off by saying you never want to buy any totals in any sport. So when I say totals, every game has a line on the game. Let's use the NFL. They'll have you know, like, well, I think let's use Arizona and Dallas. So Dallas would be a 7-point favorite over Arizona. There's also a total involved with that,
which
may be 47 over under 47 yes. points that the two teams are going to score together combined. So you want to stay away from buying any totals, not only in the NFL, but any sport. You don't want to buy totals. And of course, the bookmaker wants you to buy. And that means you're going to get extra half points and they're going to charge you an extra 10 cents. Instead of laying 110 to win 100, you'll lay 120 to win 100 for each half point you buy. 130 to win 100 if you buy a full point. You want to stay away from any totals. And let me just say right now, you want to stay away from that on any NBA. You don't want to buy anything in the NBA. You don't want to buy anything on the totals. You don't want to buy anything on the spread. Just stay away from buying in the NBA.
So don't buy points on the NBA at all. Matter what. Okay.
No.
So as a beginner, because they say that buying points is not a beginner's game, right? But some of us are beginners here and we want to push the odds into our favor. So you're saying as a beginner and even in general, don't buy points on anything except the NFL, or are there other sports that you would buy points on?
I'll talk about that a little bit. Let's get into that, actually. So in the NFL, you only can you can buy points on anything. However, again, no totals in the NFL. Years ago, the spreads and the totals used to be much less. They were 35s, 34s, 33s, 37s.
Well, so now they're high-flying offenses now, right?
Yeah, now these big offenses here are that doesn't happen anymore. You see that a couple times a year, maybe. You still don't want to buy. On sides, though, when teams are favorite, like we said, Dallas -6.5 or -7 over Arizona, let's say you want the underdog and the spread is 6.5. Well, I could see buying that to +7 on Arizona if they charge an extra 10 cents. Some charge 15. I have some spots that still charge 15 cents extra. So I'll do that on the NFL. And also the 3 is the keyest number in the NFL. In the games that are land three more than any other number in the NFL. So years ago, this was even more of a situation where buying was worth much more on the 3 or 7 before the extra point was moved back 10 yards. So that has hurt because sometimes they'll miss extra points games won't land on 3 anymore. They'll land on 4 or 2 or it's a little bit different now than it was back then. But back in the 90s, when I started in 2000s, the sports books wouldn't even charge anything extra on the 3. I had literally a dozen spots to bet at that you can lay $1.20 on buying it from 2.5 to 3. That is gone now. There's 0 spots. Once in a while, if you're betting offshore or with your local guy, you'll find some software that you'll find you'll find a software that'll just charge 10 cents more on the 3 or 7. So that's a really a fantastic thing if that happens. And don't talk about it much to your friends. You don't want to get that changed.
You don't want to move that. Okay, so we'll get more into the strategy of that and the numbers and why, you know, certain numbers are better than others. But first I want to go into just the basics of how do I just move. Okay, because normally you'd go and you to your app or to your casino and you would bet the line, right? But if I want to move the line and pay to move the line, how do I go about doing that step by step?
That's a good question because most people won't know about buying points. So if you're going to buy that Arizona-Dallas game, you actually want to go. There's some apps have a drop down menu on the spread where you can click on it and you can move the line so many points or whatever it may be. Okay. However, there's also after you go into the bet, after you click on the Dallas -7, then right before the confirmation betting screen, that's where you'll find there's a buy points little segment there where you can buy points. It's normally in really small print, so you have to look for that. So it's either right at the beginning where a drop down menu, or when you actually go to place the bet, the second segment of the bet, right before the confirmation, that's where you're going to go in and you're going to hit the buy point menu where you can buy a point. But then again, you got to remember, you only want to buy points. You only want to play with places that are going to charge you the right amount. Listen, there's a lot of places in this town that won't even let you buy points. But yet, I know a place in New Jersey that really doesn't penalize you too much to buy points, one of the Euro books. So you have to make sure in the NFL on the 7, I would not lay an extra 20 cents. So what that means is I'm not going to lay $1.30 to buy something to the 7. I'll lay $1.25. Yes, I will, but I'm not going to lay 20 extra cents. And again, that's to explain that, to put it in more layman's terms. Normally you lay 110 to win 100. I'm not going to lay 130 to win 100 on the 7. However, on the 3, I may be more inclined to do that on the 3 and lay the extra 20 cents. Here's the key that no one really talks about ever.
Yeah.
You have to look at the total on the game. Now, what I mean by this is the lower the total,
yeah,
the more chances you have of that game landing on that number. The number becomes more of a true number. So if I'm to bet a game that has a total of 54, or if I'm going to bet a game that has a total of 44, obviously the game that's on 44, the buy becomes stronger because the chances of it landing on that key number is much greater.
Okay, so lower point totals. So here we go into the strategy a little bit. So because when you're looking at which numbers, which games you want to buy the points on, you're looking for, number one, something that has a low over under total, right? And number two, that have one of those key numbers, the 7 or the 3. And a low, now a low over under, is it going to be more like a 3 or a 4? As opposed to a 7-point spread, right?
Well, you know, it all depends. Sometimes there is some high spreads with low totals. You know, sometimes there, but for the most part, you're correct. The spreads will be more around the number 3 and with a lower total. But it depends on the team. There's a lot of games that are lined minus 7 with 44 too. And there were a couple games last year that were actually 37. There was two games that I remember on. That were total 37 for the whole season. So it just depends.
And had a seven point spread.
Yes, okay. It just depends. A high power offense against a team with a decent defense, but maybe they don't have a good record because they don't have a good offense. Yeah. That line can theoretically be, you know, 6.5, 7, and 37.5, 38, 37. That can happen. So there's all different situations out there. You just have to know the fundamentally things I just spoke about. You know, not laying too much juice, not betting the big totals out there. Maybe the games that involve like the Kansas City and the powerhouse offenses, you might not want to be betting them in even the Rams years ago. Some of the totals were like 58, 60.
Or the Saints.
Perfect. The Saints. You just don't want to, you don't really want to buy on them on those situations.
So you're looking more for teams that are like the Bills, like the Dolphins, like
grind out teams,
like
yes,
the Bears, teams that don't score a lot of points.
Yes, where it's a true number and it plays closer to the vest of the coaches play closer to the vest. Therefore, maybe have a more conservative approach, and the games will land more on the spread than the higher spreads.
So you're. The spread, you figure, is where the game will land. And so you're taking a half point or a full point in either direction?
Half point. You want to buy to the number. Not really off the number, to the number. So you want to buy to the 7, to the 3, or off. You can buy off of them, but it's more or less you want to get that push just in case it does land on that key number.
Got it. So we were talking about the Cardinals and Cowboys earlier. Let's say that the spread is, you know, the spread is 2.5. Okay. I know that you said earlier that it would be 7, but just for this, that it's going to be 2.5. Let's pretend like they're lower scoring offenses, which they're not, right? But because Cardinals have a terrible defense, Cowboys can put up some points, so can the Cardinals. So let's say there are lower scoring teams. The spread is 2.5. So I'm looking to buy the Cardinals to the 3 there in that case.
If you're betting the underdog, you want to buy it to the plus 3. That's correct.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I think that's.
And if you're betting the Cowboys and let's say it's 3.5, you actually want to buy it to the 3 from 3.5 to 3.
Okay. So you can do it either way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. You can go up or down to get to that key number.
So what we're looking for, basics. look into if it's a higher score, not a higher scoring game, because you really don't want that. You're going either the 7 or the 3 is where you want to move the point to.
Correct. The spread.
So you're looking, if it's going, if out in the books, we got a 6.5 or a 7 yep. and a half or a 2.5 or a 3.5. We're looking to buy it to yep. those key numbers. So oh, that's numbers. Fantastic. Perfect. I feel but, like,
you know, I have another sport for you. Baseball
really?
Starting. And this is not so much buy, but this is more back. Let's go revert back to our show last week. Line shopping.
Yes.
You want to have a lot of these shops, again, available to you, because in baseball, which we're going to have here soon, a lot of the totals are lined around the 9, 9.5, 8.5, even 7.5 and 7. So okay. That's the key numbers in baseball totals, are those odd number totals. Obviously, games land 5-4, 4-3. Extra innings play is a big part of this. It's a big component, because a lot of these games are tied up going into the ninth inning and may go to extra innings 4-4. Well, yeah. Especially this year with the rule that if you're in extra innings, they're going to automatically have a player start right on second base no outs this year. That's a new rule they implemented for this year. They want to get these games over. Well, a little simple base hit or a couple fly balls may advance that runner and get him right home, and the score will wind up 5-4. So what you want to do, if you want to bet a total in baseball, which, by the way, I bet a lot of these totals.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I bet a lot of the totals. So what I'll do is I'll actually shop around and make sure that I can get that key number of 9. If I'm betting over, I don't want to bet over 9.5. I want to bet over 9, because I know a lot of these games are going to land 9. So I'll shop around and I'll lay over 9 minus 115 rather than lay over 9.5 minus 110. I'll spend an extra 5 cents, lay $5 more to win every 100 over the 9, because I know the 9 is a key number. Even more key is the 7 number. That's only happens when there's a really good starting pitcher,
okay.
maybe a good bullpen. So that's also vital, vital to shop those lines. You wouldn't believe how many of these games land on those odd numbers.
You're going to shop those lines, but you're not going to buy them in baseball.
No, unless
right?
there's a couple spots that let you have a drop down. It's very rare, and I don't want to confuse people at home.
Okay.
If they have them, look for that key number of on or off of the, you know, going on to the 9 and on to the 7. Correct.
Okay. So that's good. So I think I really understand what I'm doing when I'm buying points and when to buy points and what sports to do that in. So, but I've also heard something called alternate spreads. On WSN.com, they have a great article about buying points, and they talk about alternate spreads as well. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah. Great. You know, to go to WSN and read these articles, especially like that, is vital to your success. Let me just tell you, it's very important, especially an article like this on buying points. So WSN.com is the place to go for articles. Great content, tons of articles, tons of great information. Of course, our podcast, some other things up there, some strategy podcasts from the past, fantastic. But going back to the alternate lines, usually you only see alternate lines during the playoffs or Super Bowl. However, I did notice this past few seasons, sometimes under the prop menu on the Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night, the primetime NFL games, there is also alternate lines. And you may want to check them out, because they stay the same. They don't move. They're a line that does not move at all. That'll be put up early in the day, and even later on, if the line moves a little bit, those alternate lines are still there. So you really want to just work out the math in your favor. If a game is lined, let's say 7, well, they'll also have a line, will Dallas win? Let's use Dallas, Arizona again. Dallas minus 7 over Arizona is the regular line on the sports book, in the sports books. You'll see the alternate lines, Dallas minus 3.5, yeah. minus like 220. Or you'll wow. see the line Dallas minus 10.5 plus 180 or whatever it
yeah.
may be.
Yeah.
So you just want to work the math out, just figuring though that you know every half a point is 10 cents. So you can just do your own math on it. And let's say it's 3 points more, the Dallas game, the 3.5 points. Minus 7 is the minus $1.10. However,
yep.
the alternate line is minus 10.5 plus $1.80 or $1.50. They're going to probably
yep.
give you like $1.50, $1.60. Yep. So you want to work out the math and say, hey, each 10 cents, okay, so going to 7.5 is $1.20. Going to eight is $1.30. Going to $8.50, $1.40, so on and so forth.
Okay.
You'll work out the math to see in this situation, you're actually going to be taking $1.10 each way. So you want to work out the math to say, hey, this is not a bad bet, or hey, this is really a bad bet.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you just want to work out the math. It's real simple to do, 10 cents every half a point. But always remember the key numbers, you want to actually add an extra 10 cents or so on the seven. So you realize that it's not just $1.10 on that one. It's actually $1.20. So you can work it out. I stay away from the alternative lines mostly because for the most part, they're sucker bets. But you know, you may want to check out those lower totals again, and maybe check out taking the dogs primetime games, especially maybe home dogs, with the alternate lines. I could see doing that in certain situations.
That they've got some interesting pieces there that the casino is already putting out for you, right? I mean, the bottom line is the casino going to put alternate spreads out there that are advantageous to you? No, probably, right?
No, not going to. No, the intent is on actually taking a line and making it look appetizing to the customer, but they're not realizing the juice that's involved. They just look at the spread. Oh my God, the spread's only seven. I can get 10 and a half.
Yeah,
but you have to lay $1.90 if you're going to hit the 10 and a half, you know, or maybe even more, 220, you know? So it's something that looks better than it is at all times.
Got it. You like being able to manipulate it yourself in areas you feel like it's a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit on the value. You said it's about 10 cents for a half a point, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. So it's pretty common for spread bets to lose by a point or even a half a point. So is buying that worth looking at on a regular basis?
Only on those key numbers. Absolutely not. Never buy from 9 to 9.5. I won't even buy to 10. You know, there's key numbers in that games land on. You know, either they score 3 points or 7 points. It's very, you know, it doesn't happen that often that a safety comes into play or they go for 2 points. Doesn't happen as often as you would think. So unless there's a missed extra point, then you can go for two to level the playing field there or whatever it may be. So I really don't buy to anything else except for the 3 or 7. So I wouldn't even look to buying to anything like even the 10, which is a number that comes out a lot, the 6, the 4, then you're getting into really being a pure sucker buying. You know, some guys buy from, I've seen people buy from, listen, the sportsbook wants you to buy, of course. So this spreads on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. There's some big games that are lined 13 and a half. You say, well, let me get 14 just in case it lands on 14. Absolutely not. Way, way, way too expensive to do that. I probably wouldn't do that for an extra 5 to 7 cents. I'm just buying. I'm just laying the 11 to 10. I'm not going to lay anything extra on those numbers if they're not involving the 3 or 7.
So, Crack, I want to know, I know you've got a lot of interesting stories. Tell me a story about a big win you had thanks to buying points.
Wow, thanks to buying points, huh? Well, you know what? I only buy to the number, so I can tell you the big saves I've had.
Okay.
In other words, there may be situations where a spread was lined 6.5 that I can remember. But I'll tell you what. One time I bet a game years ago. This is going back 15 years ago with a sports book that never charged anything extra on the 3. So I actually bet a favorite -3, -3.5 down to -3. And I bet that with the intent of having that bet. I knew it was going to be a good bet. There was going to be some information coming out on that game later on in the week. So I bet a lot of money on that. And I was able to actually, which I don't do much. I never middle games or scalp games. Unless I overbet the bank or overbet, or you want a situation where an injury comes out, maybe you know about it ahead of time, you want to get off your game. I'll never ever middle games or scalp game. What that means is you bet both sides of the game.
Okay.
But in this situation, I did. I bet about 10 dimes, 10,000, let's call it, because dimes is a street term, $10,000 on team -3. And it actually went to 6.5. And I bought the 7 for half of the bet for 5,000. And the game landed on 7. I remember that. Having, you know, winning $10,000, and that's going back to probably about 2005, 2004. But yeah, that I remember. But there's a lot of situations where there's so many that I bought to plus seven or plus three or minus three onto the number where someone else that goes in the sports book, 95% of people that walk up to a sports book lose that bet, and I push the bet. That's just like a win to me.
Okay, that's an interesting thing to me when you talk about, because when you said scalp or buy the middle, bet the middle, right? They're betting both sides. I thought what you meant by that is that you bet both teams. You bet the underdog and you bet the, but you're not. You're betting the same team.
No, you're betting both teams. You're betting both teams. You're betting the favorite minus three and the underdog plus seven. You know what? Okay. Honestly, let's not get the viewers confused. That's not going to happen no more in NFL. So, yeah, but that, and I don't like to buy, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't like to middle games and scalp games. I bet with the intent of putting that ticket in my pocket for me and my partners, and we're going to keep that side. We're never going to get off that game unless we know about an injury or some situation where we'll say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't bet as much on this game. So, yeah, but generally, I don't middle or scalp games at all. I don't recommend it for anybody.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I think that was a great buying points strategy session. I know that I absolutely learned a lot. I understand it very clearly. Only buy points in the NFL. Only buy to the three or the seven. That's what's going to maximize your odds, right?
Correct.
All right. So there we go. Buying points. That is our strategy session for week four. And now we get to go into a great, great interview coming up. I know that you love this guy a lot, Crack. It's our interview is coming up in just a minute, but I want to remind people, if you want to learn a little bit more about buying points, there is that great article there on WSN.com, all about buying points, and you can check out the full guide there. And then, of course, this is a great time to mention your app as well, Crack, because people can get more information there as well. So make sure you download the Crack Wins app. It's available on both Apple and Google Play, and you get full access inside the world and the mind of the Crack Man with his weekly picks, along with great betting strategies about buying points and other things, tips, and your insider content. So make sure you download the Crack Wins app.
Thanks. So now great articles on there, and I'm writing one right now that's going to be my most important article I've ever written. It'll be up in about a week, and it's a very touchy article for me to write about, but it's going to be up on my app, and it's really heartfelt, close to me. So I'm going to write about this, and you'll see, yourself and the viewers will see. Very hard article for me to write, but I'm going to write about it.
Really? Wow. This I'm seeing a little emotion out of the Crack Man, which is usually I just see happy, you know, let's talk about getting that bankroll going. This seems to be, don't tell us about it, all about
no,
it.
I'm not. It's very close to me, this article, and it's hard for me to write, actually. So I look for it out there, and I hope to have it done by the weekend, and it'll be up on the app next week.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I'm excited to see. Well, I'm curious to see what this is about, and definitely download that Crack Wins app so you can see what Crack is talking about and get the first access to this. So wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. But all right, let's move on to our special guest now, David Behrman. David Behrman is the deputy sports betting editor at ESPN, and we spoke with him a little bit earlier. And he had some great things to say about what's going on over there at ESPN. So check it out. Well, welcome Dave Behrman to the show. David, you are the deputy sports betting editor at ESPN. And thank you so much for taking some time out. I know it's kind of crazy right now, so we really appreciate having you here.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I watched the last couple episodes. I'm a fan, so I appreciate being on the show.
Sweet. Well, great to have you as a fan, and thank you for being here. So I want to learn a little bit more about, like, how did you get started at ESPN? You've been there a while, right?
I've been there 15 years. I was working in a major and minor league baseball prior to that. I had some stints with the Marlins and the Marlins AAA and Single-A affiliates in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and King County, Illinois, doing a lot of PR, play-by-play broadcasting, and met a couple of people along the way, which turned into an entry-level stats job at ESPN back in 2005, where I was a researcher researching all of the live shows, SportsCenter, Baseball Tonight, college football shows, bowl games, etc. and did that for a while before moving on at the company to manage in that department. Worked with the bottom line department, scroll on the bottom of your screen, as well as their stats stats department with the live video stats that they come in. And after a while, we started building up gambling databases and gambling content. Of course, nobody was listening at the time because gambling was illegal unless you were in Nevada. But over time, that wall has broken down, and it allowed me to get into the gambling space a little bit. And now I work solely on sports betting for the company.
That's great. That's great. Great stuff. You know, David, again, appreciate having you on. I have been in this 25 plus years, going on 30 years. And, you know, I knew that gambling had officially hit mainstream when I seen that chalk section of the ESPN.com website. And then the Daily Wager appeared on ESPN2. Take me back to May of 2018 when the Supreme Court struck down the federal law banning commercial sports gambling. What was the feeling around that time at ESPN? What was going on? Was it obvious right away that this game has now forever changed? ESPN preparing for that day before the ruling came down. You guys knew about it. Take me back to back then.
I always refer to it as the light switch. The light switch went from off to on immediately. And of course, as you remember, the PASPA overruling was in May, but we had thought it was going to be January, and then we thought it was going to be February and March. And the Supreme Court kept pushing back the case until May. But during that time, we were expecting it, and we were planning for it. We were pitching show ideas. As I mentioned the prior question, we had databases in our stats department that we were pushing content on. But the difference pre-PASPA and PASPA was like a light switch going off. You had all of this content that we had at ESPN that occasionally got into the SportsCenter shows and occasionally was mentioned tongue-in-cheek. But once it became, all right, sports betting's now state-to-state, more states are going to open it up. New Jersey was right off the bat. Delaware, Pennsylvania, it was okay. What can we do? And all of a sudden it was, let's do a pilot of Daily Wager and see how it does, where I first got to know you, Bill. And before, it was literally just Corso would mention it or Herb Street would mention it on game day, and it would be occasionally mentioned tongue-in-cheek. But then absolutely afterwards, it was, all right, let's have a show. Let's push for more content. And even the most important part was, let's educate people. We have talent, producers that don't know the gambling world, and they haven't had to need to know the gambling world other than one mention a week. Now it's going to be every single day. It's going to be a fabric of SportsCenter. It's going to have its own show. It's going to be in Baseball Tonight if it can be. So we had to start educating people, and that was part of it. We had training sessions at work where here is what a money line is. Here is what the odds mean, the futures. And now it's you know, we have a daily show like you had mentioned, and now I oversee Chalk, which has expanded tenfold from when you first saw it.
Well, so you and your team are absolutely completely tapped into sports betting. And now since the pandemic, things have really, really changed. People are getting more into sports betting now that we have sports back. So what's it been like covering the story of the pandemic from the perspective of sports betting? And what are some of the interesting storylines to come out of it?
Sure, it's a very good question because we had to pivot right off the bat. Normally in late March, we have the tournament. Then you have Major League Baseball opening day, the Final Four, the Masters, it's golf season. You have all these things that you're ready to bet on, and then they all disappeared overnight. So first and foremost, we had still wanted to push content, so we had decided in April that we were going to bring August to April. Why wait to discuss NFL win totals and college football conference odds to win? We can do it in April. So we got together with our partner at Caesars Sportsbook, and we got the NFL wins, college football wins, and odds to win the conferences, divisions, and leagues all out in April, and started pushing content around that. And, you know, they got a lot of people betting them in April, and we got tons and tons of people doing on our shows and our content. And then after that, we're like, all right, what else can we talk about? And one of the more interesting things that we did was we did a story, and Doug Kazarian was one of the guys who had done it, is what can you bet on? What is out there? And it's funny when you go back and look at it, now that we're betting on golf and NASCAR, basketball is coming back. You have Korean baseball and Japanese baseball. Back in late April, you had the NASDAQ, you had Russian ping pong, you had iRacing, and you had stuff that no one had ever thought about before that all of a sudden people were betting on. So it was kind of a funny way to do it, but at the same time, there were people betting on esports and iRacing.
Esports, right? Yeah.
And so we did stories on that. We did features on iRacing where we literally had best bets from our writers. What should you bet on? And then eventually NASCAR came back, golf came back, and little by little. But over there was a brief point of time in late April, early May, where other than the NFL draft, we had to do things like, let's talk Russian ping pong. Let's talk Irish.
Yeah, I saw, I work with DraftKings as well, and they were doing, you know, they're also doing like 90 Day Fiance and those sorts of things, doing analysis on TV shows and reality TV shows. Did you guys do anything along those lines as well?
We had talked about some of the shows. I know in the past, Game of Thrones and Jeopardy all were things that did well in that space. But for the most part, late April, we took the draft that was supposed to be in Vegas and was going to be big. Even though it wasn't in Vegas anymore, we still blew it up. And we had more props and more discussion around the draft than we ever had before. Yeah. And then we turned into the other sports. Luckily, you know, golf came back and we had actual NASCAR racings. And horse racing was still going on, even though in front of no fans. So we did some horse racing. But the best part was the NFL draft, because that got a lot of attention. And, you know, it's normally something that you don't see from a betting point of view that became heavily bet on. And as I mentioned earlier, talking NFL win totals and college football playoff odds, those are things you don't think about in April that we decided to do in April and May.
And you mentioned Doug Kazarian. He wrote a great piece yesterday that has the Twitter world on edge. And just in general, one person sent me that article, and now about a dozen, including three different reporters, calling me yesterday or around the country asking me about that piece. So great job by Doug Kazarian. And I'll get into that a little bit. Actually, the Bellagio on Sunday night, let's call it Sunday night. It's 1:30 in the morning, but it's still Sunday night for us out here. Yeah. So they left up the odds on these, on, is it Korean baseball, Dave? Is that it?
Korean and Chinese Taipei baseball, both of them.
Okay. They left the odds up by accident on games that started at 1 o'clock. So by like 2 o'clock, and a couple guys, maybe probably I'm hearing in the poker room, noticed that these odds were left up. And here we have games in the fourth and fifth inning. And even by 2:57 a.m., when games were in the ninth inning, the odds on the games that were, I think one game was up like 8-1 or something. So they knew that these games were, they knew the outcome of the game basically, without a miracle happening, of course, which did. And they bet them in round robins and parlays. And they may have got a little greedy because they won over $250,000. So this is
they definitely got greedy.
It's a really big topic going on right now. Kazarian really got this down. And my hat's off to you guys. Also you, Dave. This is going through gaming now, and to see who gets paid, who doesn't get paid. The old Nevada adage is, you know, you book a bet, you pay a bet. You got to get the gaming board involved if the casinos don't book you. Normally, a casino will tell you, hey, you can have that ticket, and you can keep the ticket you have, and you're never going to bet at any of our properties again, or you can give the ticket back and be reinstated. Well, for this kind of money, one guy won 130 some thousand. Yeah, they're not giving the money back. What do you think, Dave?
Hats off to Doug. Doug was chasing that story. We have two really good guys. David Purdom's all over the news all the time, and Doug had some sources on this one that broke the story. We'd been working on it for a couple of days, and Doug stayed on top of it, sourced it well, and, you know, worked with our news desk to get it out there. And like you said, it's all over Twitter now. It's an interesting thing because I'm big into betting Korean baseball, and there's usually I place the bets, then go to sleep, and I wake up in the middle of the game because I have two youngs, and I'll be awake and I'll check on the scores. It never dawned on me to check and see if the games are still up on the board. I never thought about doing that. So, hey, if they saw it, good for them. You did say they probably got a little bit greedy. I also probably would have cashed the bets a lot earlier, and I might have slept right next to the casino sports book to make sure at 9:01 I cashed those tickets and run as far as I could. They waited a little bit too long. But hey, the world isn't perfect, and we're going to have technology glitches, and with the apps and the technology that's fairly new to the betting world, where it used to just be go to the book and get your ticket. Now it's app-driven, and things are going to happen, and I may not have handled it the way they handled it. I mean, I did go 4-0 that night without the help, but they did benefit from a night where there was not a lot of comebacks, because there are really, really bad bullpens in the Korean Baseball League, and there was two blown leads this morning. The night before those kids won, there were two blown leads that night. But the night that they bet, nobody blew the game because they were betting it in the sixth and seventh inning. So they got a little bit lucky there.
Yeah, it's very rare that you get a player edge, right? So So you got to take advantage of it. Unless you have the Crack Wins app and you're following Crack, sure. Then you get the player edge.
But even more so, though, to expand on that a little bit, I have to tell you, there's ethics involved. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know the guys that run the MGM, Jeff over there and stuff, the corporation. You can't do that. You can't really take advantage of stuff like that. That's really borderline cheating. When you're past posting. So now granted, there are sports books in Las Vegas that have tried to cheat me and my buddy Gil Alexander. I'll be happy to do that to them because they do it to others. But This case, I don't really condone what happened here. So
they did cheat. I mean, they bet on games that were already there. And I know every one of us look at that as a lottery ticket. And I frankly don't blame the books for not wanting to pay. And I don't blame the books if they want to prevent them from betting ever again, because I wouldn't want anybody cheating on my business either. But yes, like you said, bets would cheat right back if they could. So it's kind of one of those rare instances. And when I first heard about it from Doug, it brought me back to 2 days earlier when I was looking at a line that didn't seem right. And it was the same thing. It was Korean baseball, but it wasn't a mid-game thing. It was in between the double headers that they had on Friday night. There was 9 games being played. The line didn't make any sense, but then when you went to bet it, it wouldn't allow you. So there was a stopgap in there, and that happened.
Yeah. So you've been talking about Korean baseball, Chinese baseball. So we've got Major League Baseball coming up. So we'll see. I mean, end of July, right? So what do you think? How do you think that's going to change with betting perspectives, the shortened season? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before. It's going to be one of those, you really don't know what you're going to get. The schedule is all regional and divisional based. And if you're in the NL East, you're playing all these teams. I think the Central teams have a little bit of an edge because the AL and NL Central divisions are a little bit weaker than the East and the West. The travel is going to be a big part of it. We don't know if there can be travel yet. And if you're Seattle, you're flying everywhere. If you're the Mets or Yankees, you're only flying south one time to get to Tampa and Florida and Atlanta. I do think the way the teams manage their staff is going to be different because you only need 60 games instead of 162 games. Is that starter going to be stretched out or not? You know, we always worry about the cold in April and the bats not being warmed up. It's going to be July and August. Are they going to be ready to go? There probably are advantages to be had there. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach and see how it starts out before I jump in. I usually did that with Korean baseball and other things. You get a lot of more data. I know there are people who model these things out that I have a hard time to believe their models are going to work for something like this. And, you know, I'm not the guy who's building it, but I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I know others are going to jump right in. I haven't taken any futures yet. And the ones I had were all refunded to me because the season has changed. Yeah. It will be interesting, but at the end of the day, I'm also a firm believer that the best teams are the best teams and the worst teams are still the worst teams. And our stats and info department had a great nugget the other day that even the worst 60-game stretch for the Yankees and Astros last year, their worst 60-game stretch of the season, they were still on pace for 95 wins. So, Granted, it's not the first 60 games of the season, But at any 60-game stretch for those two teams, and on the flip side, the worst teams in the league last year never had a 60-game stretch above 500. So I still think 60 games is enough to tell you. There could be one or two teams that start out hot and wind up getting into the playoffs that would not have over 162 games. But those stats do tell me that going ahead and taking a stab on the Marlins or the Pirates, the Orioles, is not a smart way to go, even though there's only 60 games.
Got it.
Great, great stuff, Dave. Let me ask you, how do you see 2020 into 2021? Any more gambling content? How are you guys going to expand on that? Or grow over the next year? Do you guys have some plans for some other sports betting stuff?
Yeah, I think what's coming up in August and September, should all of these leagues actually play, is going to be fascinating because we're going to have every sport in the world being played in September and October, which is going to allow us to expand our offerings all across the board. I know that we are very much looking forward to down the line working on more live betting type information and having, you know, storylines built around that. We may be a year or two away from America in general pushing live betting more. You see it more now with the limited number of sports that are going on, that live has been more and more important. But I think just in general, we have expanded our golf, NASCAR, to weekly columns that we never had before. I think we're going to continue doing that in the fall. And, you know, between the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and two footballs being played, you have baseball, and all of a sudden you're going to have some golf majors and Triple Crown races. It is a lot of content we can push out there at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. So especially too, with the combination between DFS too, right, and sports betting, it's kind of gotten into this bubble on its own. And so it's good to see that. So going a little bit on the fantasy edge, you and I were talking a little bit earlier, because I think your biggest bet, you like the underdog clearly because you are a Dolphins fan. So give me, before we let you go, give me a little bit for my fantasy friends out there, just a little bit about what you think is going to happen with Tua this year.
If I was the manager, if I was the coach or GM, I would probably not start him right off the bat, because as we talked about off air, like, the training camp's going to be a little different. Preseason's going to be a little different. You're not going to have the camps that you currently have. The first six games for the Dolphins are very, very tough games that no matter who the quarterback is, they're probably not going to win more than two. But then the next six games, when you bring in the Jets twice, the Bengals, both LA teams, and Arizona, is a very good chance to bring a rookie and get him a couple of wins, get him ingrained into the NFL with, instead of going against, you know, the Patriots of the world, you're going to have to, all due respect to Jets and Bengals fans, it's an easier slate. So I'd bring him in right there. You got the Jets, a bye week, the Jets again. Give him a couple of games to get under his belt against a weaker type opponent, and hopefully Tua Mania, as we know, it takes off. That's what I would do.
I think that's great advice. David, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. It was great getting to know you a little bit better, and happy to see more content out there on ESPN about sports betting. And we loved having you on. Hope you'll come back and see us again.
Thanks, Dave.
I'd love to be on again, and thanks, Bill, and for having me. And one of the other things I was going to mention is we're also going to, what we tried to do in March is open the studio in Las Vegas and do more shows from out there. So you had mentioned what's coming down in 2020.
Yes.
Hopefully having Daily Wager come from there, if, you know, health permitting and technology is what it is, that we're able to open that studio that we wanted to open in March. That'll be a big thing for us as well.
Awesome. Awesome.
Fantastic. See you in Vegas, David.
Thank you, guys.
That was great chatting to David and getting an inside perspective on everything that's been happening. And you know what, Crack? We've said it before, but I think it's worth mentioning again, we have some great guests.
Wait till you see what's coming up.
Ah, you do this to me all the time. I'm like, it just keeps getting better and better.
Well, let me tell you something. Having David on is, I don't know if I can outclip that, because he's right there. A Bristol guy. He lives 10 minutes from Bristol.
Yep.
You know, he does everything sports betting, does it right. I forgot to even mention, he wrote a great article a couple of weeks ago, and he had Webb Simpson to win the tournament, and he actually won it. So fantastic work by Dave. I forgot to congratulate him on that. So he'll get to hear that now. So good
there you go. Well, he said he's a fan of the show, so he'll get to see it, right? So yeah. So great guests coming up. It's a good reason to subscribe for you guys out there if you haven't already. So make sure you don't miss out on all of the great guests we have coming up in the future. And of course, all of Crack's great, great advice. I know I'm learning a lot. I know you guys are too. And we love having you. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Okay, so we're getting close to the end of the show, which means it's time for Crack's pick. So Crack, what do you have lined up for us this week?
Well, you know, this week we're going to do something a little bit different. We've been cutting the time close for the golf, and I feel bad. Some of the viewers don't get to see it, even though I do mention it a couple times on Twitter. So, it's free play time. Let me first say that, you know, you have to shop for lines. I don't like you normally betting into the futures market, which I've talked about again. I keep on beating the dead horse, I know, with the shop for lines. But so I want to talk about a future. I want to get into that in a second. Let me first say the thing about giving away one pick. Sometimes you're judged by giving away a one pick. I don't even like giving away one pick sometimes, but I agree to do it for the show, so I am doing that. But you're judged by that one or two even picks you give away. Listen, in the long run, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So I only have a mathematical edge of about 5 to 7%, which means I'm basically going to go approximately 6-4 on every 10 games I give out. Six wins, four losses, that means.
Yeah.
However, me giving out 6-4, and me to my followers and myself, it's going to make me a lot of money. So, but you know, one of the plays I give out here or something could be one of those four losses. So the only way really to not miss out on those six winners is to check out Crack Wins and the Crack Wins app, where you can obtain all my plays. Yeah. So that's just something I wanted to say about picks. But let me just tell you, this pick's going to be a future bet, which I talk about. I don't like to bet futures markets. However, yeah, I found some pretty good odds over at the Westgate, actually, on Buffalo Bills to win their division at plus $1.40.
Yeah.
I actually made a bet about a month ago there, too. But I couldn't give it out to my guys because you can only find it at the Westgate. I bet the Bills to win the whole conference at plus at 20-1. Just a little bet that I thought was a good odds. But this plus 140, this may come into play a little bit. And it's not even a rush to get into this, because I looked at some other places. They were plus 135, plus 130.
Yeah.
You know, the news out yesterday, Cam Newton signing with the Patriots. People may be a little bit happy. Cam's at the Patriots. They got a good starting quarterback, not a fourth round pick, which they were going to have. So maybe they're going to, you might get some time in between here, and maybe some Patriot money will come in and you'll be able to get a better price on the Bills. But I bet it because it was plus $1.40. I think that's a good number. Yeah. And I think that's listen, the Bills are a better team. Josh Allen in his third year.
That defense really good.
Yeah. Defense, he really turned really a corner good last year, though, as a quarterback. He's not really a running quarterback when it matters, but he gets the job done. You know,
he runs in the end zone, though. He is their number one. Like, he calls his own number in the end zone quite
17,
a bit.
17 rushing touchdowns left. Very good. Absolutely correct.
You're speaking my language now, Crack.
You probably know that stuff more than me, because with the fantasy, because I really don't know a ton of these things. I have to do some research on them and realize it with my research team. And also, he's going to have ex-Viking star Stephon Diggs now, wide receiver. Yep. That's really going to be like his first number one go-to guy that he's really going to have. So their defense, like you said, excellent job, Rosalie.
Excellent,
you know your
defense
stuff.
Yep.
Their defense was second in the league, and they've added more depth this year. Their pass defense was number one, I believe, and they should be as good this year. So
Well, and that division is not very good. You've got the Dolphins, you've got the Jets, and you've got the Patriots. Now, the Patriots obviously have been the big, you know, the big dog all the past 20 years, but now things are different. And yeah, a lot of people are talking about Cam coming in, but from what I've heard, is they really, really, really like, they may go by a QBBC, which is a quarterback by committee. They may be pulling people in and out for the first time ever in the NFL. So be aware.
Yes, their quarterback that they were going to depend on, I think his name is Stidham.
Mm-hmm, Jarrett Stidham.
First year. Yeah. Yep. So and it's not an insult to him. I think he's going to be mature enough to know that. I would think Cam is definitely, but you know, he's prone to injury. But besides that, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback, I'm sure, on day one. I know some sports books back in New Jersey actually had that as a choice. Cam Newton be the starting quarterback? And then recently, there's been some talk about him going to other teams, and articles were written that he will not be the quarterback going to the Patriots. So with the changing of the guard there, I think we'll see some Patriot fans coming out, maybe betting the Patriots, and hopefully you get a good sports book that when people do bet the Patriots to win their division or win the conference, they adjust and give you a better odds on the other teams in that division. So I'm hoping that we can get at least plus 135, the people out there.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. I like that pick a lot. And so look for that line to move. That's your Crack pick of the week. Okay, so it's time to wrap it up. But before we do, we end as we always end, and that's by answering the questions from you guys. Are you ready, Crack?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Let's get into some of these juicy questions. All right. First one comes from Ryan Wachter. Ryan, I'm sorry if I've messed up your last name, but this question is, what tips do you have for a starting out player with a very small bankroll? And that's actually how you started too, right, Crack? With a very small bankroll.
That's how everyone starts. Oh, yeah.
So top three tips for somebody just starting out.
Well, let's say you start out with a $1,000 bankroll. That's your allotted bankroll now. That bankroll is just for sports betting, not for going out to eat when you're in the sports book. It's not for going to the blackjack table with. It's just for sports betting. So let's say you start with $1,000. You need to find the best deals out there first. Mm. Very important. Every sports book gives you deals back east, and these Euro books that have taken over the country, the FanDuels, the DraftKings, the points bets, they're giving you some great. Listen, if you deposit $1,000 at a place like PointsBet, I know they're giving you like two free $500 bets right now.
So these are the bonuses you talk about,
yes.
Right?
Oh, they're vital to your success. Vital. You're going to, if you start out with $1,000 and you're serious about sports betting, there's no reason why before you make a bet, that thousand cannot be theoretically worth $1,300 to $1,500.
That's free money, right?
Free money. Yes. That's key. And especially before football season, especially now, they want to get money back in the apps. These companies are all bleeding money. They want to get people to post up their money and get back in the app. So for sure, they're dangling some, I like to call my thing, dangling some great juicy carrots out there.
So that's what's the best way important. To find some of those bonuses? At WSN.com?
WSN, that's great. A great opportunity to look at for different bonuses. WSN has all those jurisdictions out there, and it'll show you exactly what you get in your home state, what kind of bonus by signing up through the WSN link and getting in there at the right time. So that's a great way to find out. And, I have to tell you, myself, I'll even though I have money in an app and I'm not new to this, yet I still see opportunity for myself, even though I have money in the sports books, because after you go through the WSN.com and after you sign up for these sports books, you'll be in their database. So now they're going to email you different promotions. Even though you have money in the book, amazingly, they still give you more. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I have about, there's one sports book back home, and I'll always consider Jersey back home. There's one sports book back home that I haven't touched the money since Super Bowl. I have five figures in there. And yet he sent me an email the other day offering me $500 more. And I'm like, well, I have like 13 grand there. It's hard to believe they wouldn't look at that and say, well, he's not going to re-up right now. But it doesn't matter. They still want you active. So they still want you to deposit another $1,000 and we're going to give you a $500 bet free. Once you get your name in their database, they're all going to email you. Every one of them every week will start emailing you a plethora of different bonuses and stuff.
So that's great tips for those players just starting out. And just so get the bonuses, put the money into the apps, let that money come to you, and then you've already increased your bankroll. All right, so let's go on to be the gambler, because it kind of ties into the first question too. And he has ask Bill, if you bet $25 to $50 a game, what bankroll should you have? So this is another beginner's, because I know you talk about the 2%, right? You should always bet 2%.
Yeah. Did the same guy ask that question?
No, different guy. Different guy.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Can I say, wow, that's really two good questions. The same guy. If you want to bet $50 a game, let's use that number. It's a nice even number. That means you need a bankroll of around $2,000 to $2,500. Again, allotted bankroll just for sports betting. Let's remember that.
Yeah.
And when I'm saying $2,000 to $2,500, because you want to keep your average bet to $50, like you said. Mm-hmm. And so 2% of $2,500 is $50 a game. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds like a little bit of money compared to that bankroll, but you have to allow for the fluctuation of the bankroll. You can get into a losing. Listen, I have losing months. It happens. I mean, thank God I've only had two the last 12, but I mean, that happens. I do have a losing month. So you're definitely going to have a losing month. So if you're betting with an edge though, your bankroll is going to grow up. It's going to grow up. Exactly. So when it goes up, that means when your bankroll gets to 3,000, now you could bet $60 or even $75 a game. When your bankroll gets to 4,000, you're up to over $100 a game. So your bet size is going to go up when your bankroll goes up.
Got it. It's just like day trading, same kind of thing. You're doing a percentage. So that's fantastic. I love that. So bankroll grows up, right? And like you said, And it's good to remind people of this. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right? You're gonna have up days, you're gonna have down days, but if you do the right things all along, your end will be up as opposed to down. And that's what we're looking for. So going into our last question, this is from our buddy, Scott Sanders. He says, Bell, do you ever bet favorites on a money line parlay in football instead of teasing them down? I'm curious to hear your approach with those.
You know, I know it, look, it, when you see these money line parlays, you see money line, you say, oh, the team just has to win. I know it looks like a better bet. It looks like an easier bet. First of all, I stay away from parlays. The casinos have an edge of, you know, 30% on, you know, parlays, depending on what sport, what spread and stuff. You just want to stay away from parlay betting at all. Now, granted, I'll bet parlays. If I know lines are going to move, if I know I'm going to lay 2 on a college basketball game that's going to be 4 the next day or later on in that day, that night, I'll bet a parlay. I'm not saying I'm not going to bet it because I'm going to get the best of the line. But for the most part, most people out there, stay away from parlays altogether. I know it looks easy. The money line one, Scott, that you're asking about, I know it looks easy because instead of laying 7 points on those Dallas Cowboys over Arizona, you just have to win the game. Well, you're going to lay, you know, you're going to lay 250 or 280 or two, whatever it may be, your sportsbook has, which that means you're going to lay almost 3-1 on the money line compared to just laying the 7 points. You're better off just betting a straight bet and betting the teams you like individually straight. If you go 1-1, you break even, you lose a little juice. If you go 1-1 on a parlay, you lose the parlay.
Got it. So stay away from parlays for the most part is Bill's advice to you, Scott. Wow, we did a lot today, Crack, as usual. I always come out of these podcasts with just like excitement and ready for the seasons to start so I can start laying some bets down. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Thank you. Great episode. Love this episode. People are really going to like it.
And I want to thank the audience. Thank you guys for joining us each week. We hear you on Twitter. We're enjoying engaging you on Twitter and on YouTube. And of course, don't forget, please subscribe to WSN on YouTube so that you don't miss a week of the Crackman's great advice. And so join us next week. We'll be back with another sports betting strategy deep dive and another special guest. You heard Crack tease it a little bit earlier. And of course, all those great plays from the Crack Man. We'll see you next week. Right, Crack?
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.